chair of the at-large advisory committee. I note it is 1 minute past our starting time and I like to get the trains to run on time. Unfortunately, I note some of our board guests are not with us at this time. That's not going to actually stop me starting the meeting, however. The vacant spaces on either side, to my left and right, will be occupied by a variety of staff and board members as they appear and disappear. But we will take a moment or two to do some housekeeping. And that housekeeping is to remind you all that this meeting is simultaneously translated. Because it is simultaneously interpreted, my apologies to those doing the interpretation, into French, English and Spanish. If you are not fluent in all of these languages, you really ought to collect some earbuds. They look like this. If you wish to hear English, you should be on channel 2. If you wish to hear French, you should be on channel 1. If you wish to hear Spanish, you should be on channel 3. And I will give you a moment or two to gather and get your earbuds. And I'll ask, please, Frederick, if you could ensure there's translation devices along the front table for my board members when they arrive. Thank you. And it is, in fact, perfect timing. What an entrance, gentlemen. Please. Welcome, and if you'd care to join me to the right-hand side here, or right and left, I don't mind being flanked by the board. Whilst we have completed our housekeeping, I would like to take one moment to draw your attention to a change in the normal course of events. And board members, this is something that will affect you. In previous meetings, we have spent time going around the room saying, hello, my name is Cheryl and I am. We're not doing that now, even though some of us are new. What we have in front of us, so in various colours, which is rather sad and sometimes unreasonable, are in fact our names. When we first speak to a matter, we will introduce ourselves in short form. Because we are doing simultaneous interpretation, I would advise anybody, every time they take the microphone, to say your name. This allows those who are hearing only the interpreter's voice to know who is speaking. If you miss out on saying your name, I will try and catch it and say thank you, Azumi, for that statement, or thank you, Sebastian, for that statement, but that's retrospective information. So if you can remember to say your name at the beginning. But what I would like to do, however, is ask our visiting board members, whose valuable time we are taking this morning, if they would, however, care to introduce themselves, because really all the spotlight's on you right now. So, Pat Stennis, if you'd like to start.
My name is Dennis Jennings. I'm Irish, which is a handicap I've suffered for most of my life, particularly coming to Paris, having voted no to the Lisbon Treaty recently. I keep watching my back.
That's
our excuse. The French showed us how to do this. I'm an ICANN board member. I'm a new ICANN board member. This is my second formal board meeting.
I joined after
the AGM in Los Angeles. I do have some background in ICANN in that in 1999 and the year 2000, I was chairman of CENTER, the Council of European National Top-Level Domain Registries, where I was quite vocal about the relationship between CCTLDs and ICANN. But that's a long time ago. I don't represent any constituency. I'm now an investor. My life is about investment in early-stage companies, about management and funding, and not so much about technology. I'm appointed by the non-com, so I have no representational role in any sense. And of course, as a board member, I formally have no representational role. So that's me, Dennis Jennings, board member.
Soy pues miembro del consejo. Dennis Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, my name is Jean-Jacques Subrenard.
Soy Jean-Jacques Subrenard.
I'm a board member since November last year.
Del año pasado.
I too was nominated by the NOMCOM through the NOMCOM procedure. And like Dennis, I consider this to be an important feature. I don't come from any given constituency. That's true, of course, for any board member, that we have an obligation of looking at the public trust and public interest, as well as all the other aspects. My background, I was a French ambassador, and right now my occupations are very much centered on ICANN, and also I am a tutor at the École Nationale d'Administration in Strasbourg, and I am the chair of the advisory board of Institut Pierre Werner in Luxembourg, where I happen to live right now, although I am French. I may not be completely up to speed with what you will be discussing today, but I'll do my best. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm Thomas Norton, and I am the IETF liaison to the board, so as a liaison I don't have a voting role, just an advising role, but my background, generally speaking, is technology. I've been active in the IETF for 15 years or so, but the main areas that probably are interest here is I've been heavily involved in IPv6 development, I've been involved in DNS work as well, and I've also been involved in the registry side, so I've actually been active in the regional internet registries. So I have a pretty broad background there, and I don't really represent any particular constituency per se. I mean, I mostly just provide advice on technology-related matters.
Thank you. While the technology catches up with us and we try and get dial-in participants to be able to participate, thank you, Jason, it would be lovely if that would happen, we're going to take a small change to our agenda without any discussion. I'm using the Chair's discretion. The Board Governance Committee Review Committee are sitting behind me, and they would like to be introduced. Patrick Sherry asked me this morning if it was possible for them to take a moment or two, and I have a chair next to me, gentlemen, so it would be very good if the first of you would care to come up. Basically, it's to describe what Patrick said, to prove you don't have two heads. I think that was how it was put to me.
Well, good morning. My name is Colin Carter, and we're pleased to be here. We've been retained to carry out the review of the board. Let me just say a little bit about myself. I'm a senior advisor to the Boston Consulting Group. I've spent my career working with them. As I've got older and grey hair and less hair, I found myself more likely to be working with boards, and possibly for the last 15 years I've spent most of my consulting life working with boards of directors, perhaps done nearly 100 board reviews in a variety of profit and not-for-profit organisations, and we're very much looking forward to this project, which will take place over the next couple of months. Encourage you to stop us if you see us around the corridors here, if you have views, and there will be an online opportunity for people to make contributions. But thank you very much for letting us take a moment in your meeting this morning. And I'll just introduce one of my colleagues, Felix Barber, who's based here in Europe.
Thank you, Colin. Felix Barber. I'm also a senior advisor with the Boston Consulting Group based in Zurich, Switzerland. I've also spent much of my career with BCG, working in France and Germany and Spain and many other European countries, and have also been focusing on organization and governance and ownership issues, and very much looking forward to talking to any of you who will be interested to talk to us about what we're up to. Thank you.
And I thought we had three, but only two wish to speak today. I can assure you, gentlemen, there will be many of the people around this table stopping you in the corridors. And it's very good that you've identified yourselves, because I'm quite sure that a number of personal approaches from the RALOs and the ALEC members will be coming your way. Okay, this takes us now to the standard part of the agenda, which I'd love to be able to read, but it's far too small, so I shall wing it. I think it's supposed to be the short review of our recent ALAC work, including our working group activities, and of those of you who are leads around this table on a particular working group, I would here see Bo, I would here see Hong, I would here see Wolf is at the table, yes. Evan, you may wish to step forward when we discuss the summit as well. I would think at least those three need to have a short form discussion. By short form, ladies and gentlemen, I am giving you 3 minutes each. If you would like to put up your hand and decide who wants to start, do you want to go for IDNs? Do you want to go for Hong's going? Yes, okay. The IDN working group, 3 minutes, short review. Thank you, Hong.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. As 3 minutes, I try to be precise. The IDN working group has been doing two issues very busily in these days. One is on the fast-track IDN CCTLD process. Cheryl and I are the two members of CCNSO IDNC working group. We participate in all the activity of the committee in GNSO. For users, we are particularly interested in two issues. One is users' participation in the policy making and evaluation for the new TLD application. And another one is about the pressing demand for users for the new IDN CCTLD. For the second point, I want to go to the second point first, elaborate a bit. IDN CCTLD fast track was designed to fulfill the pressing demand of user community. It must be very fast. And especially there is important criteria for the fast track approach, that is the readiness of the local community. And we know that IDN CCTLD is comparatively easy to be implemented than IDN GTLD. IDN GTLD is much more complicated and involves a lot of the difficult issues that deserve long time to be revealed. But for CCTLD, it's relatively simple because it's limited in one territory. There's one observation. I'm not speaking on behalf of Shara or the committee. I'm speaking as a user, as an IDN user. That is, I heard something from the user community that people have concern that even though the IDN CCTLD TLD fast-track documents could be submitted in this week, hopefully on Thursday, to the board. The board will take quite long time to review it, and one consideration for the timing of the review is to make it sort of harmonious with the new GNSO. With the new GTLD process. I know for the business constituency, they have some interesting consideration about to maintain their market competitive edge. GTLD registry may not be very happy, about the going first approach of CCTLDs. But that is not a concern of user community, which is what to have the IDM in place as soon as possible. So I don't believe it should be deferred for this market consideration. It should be a purely a policy will. And think about ICANN, it's always been a multi-stakeholder process. This is about IDN CCTLD fast track. With respect to IDN GTLD, I used to be the member of GNSO IDN Working Group. And for the new GTLD process, ALAC IDN, I use up the 3 minutes. I'm so sorry.
Hong, you are allowed to conclude, but I am warning you that I will give you a time signal at 3 minutes. Go ahead. I will allow her to conclude, yes.
Oh, yes, to conclude that, we hope the board will emphasize, we ensure the opportunity for user to participate in all the policymaking and evaluation of IDN top-level domains.
Thank you, Hong. I do hope that every other speaker will notice when I start giving a T signal from the front. I might do it just about 15 seconds out of the 3 minutes, so you can mentally prepare to wind up your presentation. I now need to give my most humblest apologies to my fellow Asia-Pacific representative on the board. I neglected to mention the very important matter of IPv4 to IPv6, which, considering I'm a card-carrying member of the IPv6 forum in my country, is somewhat criminal. So I have moved you ahead, and you are now the next speaker. As if you care to give 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thanks, Daryl, and you don't have to apologize at all. I'm Izumi Aizu, the member of ALAC from Asia-Pacific, but also I'm sort of leading the working group on IPv4v6 transition or coexistence. As you may know, we have successfully organized a workshop yesterday morning. We tried to prepare from Delhi to Paris for that, and we are happy to report that, first of all, that the workshop was very well attended. I heard many complaints that there are little space and there are many chairs brought after we started meeting. And I also heard some complaint about the shortage of time, especially exchanging ideas and information at the end. That means we have excellent speakers from all different parts of the game, and starting from the technical or the addressing community represented by NRO, or Aaron, Ray Polzak was there. We had the pleasure to have a technical overview from the Chief Technology Officer of Internet Society, Leslie Daigle, who is also involved, I believe, in the IETF works. And we had good policy work done by OECD recently, and the editor Karine Persett was there. I did some portion of sharing the Japanese government action plan or best practices portion. We had three members from the ISPs. We are very pleased to see the France Telecom, British Telecom, and Comcast both reported how they are dealing with the challenges. And also one member from the Government Advisory Committee, Bertrand de la Chapelle, also shared his view, as well as French and European Union's recent action or communication. I felt, although the original focus was end users, and we as an at large should remain there, but largely in theory end users do not have to worry about nor care about. In reality, everybody has to work together on their own role and also to coordinate each other. Some discussion focus was how to deal with the areas where internet development is not as far as the most developed, and because it involves significant amount of human resources
resources, financial and other resources. So concerns are raised from some friends from the developing countries, like some African people. But I think to conclude, the message carried forward is, as I already said, that we mutually recognize the need to collaborate from all sectors of the Internet ecosystem. And I think ICANN and at large has an important role to be a catalyst to work together with some other bodies as well. That's sort of my observation. Thank you, Chair.
And thank you, Izumi. You've obviously done speaker training because we are just kicking on to the 5 to 8 minute mark. My greatest appreciation. You knew your 3 minutes perfectly. Bo, new GTLDs, and you also have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Bo Brendler. We have done some work in the last couple of days regards new GTLDs addressing the statement or the language within on recommendation 6, noting that language speaking to an evaluation criteria termed as morality and public order is, with reference to Annex A 13B of the ICANN bylaws, not in the best interest of the ICANN community or ICANN. Previously, many months ago, the ALEC made statements of concern regarding safety, security, and security and stability issues that we believe are being addressed in the implementation phase. So, in addition to this current work that we are doing now, we have also been contributing to the new GTLD process in the areas of safety, security, and stability as new GTLDs are introduced. I'm also part of the or the co-chair of the RAA working group. I'll give you a very brief notation on that. We distributed new amendments of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement to the ALAC shortly after their June 16th release, and we have requested that the documents be translated into French and Spanish because we came to the realization that, in fact, we didn't have the Registrar Accreditation Agreement available to folks in another language besides English, so that's a good step. And we hope to discuss them prior to the public comment period ending in August. In addition, we are meeting with the Registrar constituency on Thursday morning, which is the second meeting we've had with them. The first one, I think, for quite some time between the two groups happened in Delhi, and we're looking forward to this one coming up on Thursday, in which we will perhaps discuss issues related to the new RAA amendments, and they also have expressed, the registrars have also expressed interest in hearing about the planning for our at-large summit. Thanks.
Thank you, Bo. With moving on to the summit and feeling incredibly generous, mainly because I'm part of the working group, I'm going to actually give both the lead on content and the lead on logistics 3 minutes each. Who would like to go first, Evan or Wolf? Evan? No, Wolf? Oh, stop being so polite. One of you put your light on and start talking. Okay, Wolf, thank you.
Okay, I take the ball. My name is Wolf Ludwig. I'm part of Uralo, and I joined as a working group at the beginning of this year. As you may remember, the board took a decision in principle in Delhi to have a summit in the coming fiscal year. And the summit working group was encouraged to continue its work, its preparations, and we had several phone conferences, and at one of these we decided to subdivide the working group into two parts, one part considering logistics and organizational matters. This will be elaborated by Evan, and I'm in charge, I'm the coordinator for the content working group. And as a summit is supposed to be a bottom-up approach, we didn't want to prescribe a set agenda. Therefore, we decided to draft a survey and to ask our ALSs what are their major concerns, what are their priorities, what are the issues and topics they want to be discussed, what could be the most appropriate formats at the summit, which may be most useful for the participants. And this questionnaire was now re-edited, translated, etc. Now it's finalized in three language versions. It was spread out to the communities, and we are now encouraging all our ALSs to fill it in and to receive as many responses as possible to draw a program for the summit on the solid basis of the responses and the reactions from our organizations. And we have a timetable now, and we will be very busy over the next couple of weeks to make the agenda setting, and I now give over to Evan.
Thank you very much. Before you give over to Evan, because I don't want the board members to have apoplexy, of course we do understand that was not the exact statement that matches your board resolution. What you resolved was to investigate, allow us to investigate with staff the funding models on the possibilities of having a summit this fiscal year. We do have the correct in our mind, so please relax. And now, Evan.
Okay, I'll be careful. Just as a little bit of history, Sebastian and others have been involved in the idea of a summit for quite some time, but in the San Juan meeting a year ago, there became a very, very deep grassroots movement to have a summit, to identify policies, to find out exactly what it is the grassroots wants to show to ICANN in terms of policy development, in terms of getting used to, shall we say, the ICANN culture, which to newcomers can be somewhat daunting. And so we've developed a summit, and the intention is to have 2 days in advance of the ICANN meeting in Cairo, as well as to have the participants involved in the Cairo meeting as well. As you will see in the budget submissions, there are a number of scenarios because we do not anticipate all ALSs will participate. This is partly out of an issue of fiscal prudence, but it's also because we expect that the ALSs are going to come to the summit prepared. This is not an introductory meeting. We expect them to be educated to the basics on issues. We expect them to be replying to the surveys and communications that we've been sending out to them. Those that are not participating will not be invited to the summit. And so this is meant to be a highly interactive event for those ALSs that have demonstrated an interest in participating and in being actively involved.
Thank you, Evan. And just on that point, it is definitely, you meet your criteria and then you may be invited. This is not a come as an unknown entity to ICANN. The commitment, of course, for the 2 days before, I'd like the board to be very clear on this, simply means that the General Assembly for the RALO in that region, that time and space, and indeed some of the resources, shifts to a full summit of the General Assembly of all RALOs. And the one-day activity that the ALAC normally conducts on the Sunday does not happen, and that space, time, and some of the resources shifts to day two of the General Assembly. And the meeting time we normally have for our ALAC meetings, sadly, I would suggest also that valuable time with the board does not happen, and our ALAC and RALO meeting times in the normal event scheme in an ICANN week is allowing for us to have our plenary and preparation for reporting sessions. So these are not additional days. These are days that are actually currently committed to some extent. I think that's a very important message, and I hope you'll indulge me with having made that very clear. The next part that I'd like to review is I was jumping the gun. My error. I was looking at my time. I would actually, thank you, Aneta, for prompting me, like to see if the board has any questions for any or all of representations from the working groups. And obviously you do, so sorry.
Dennis Jennings. I think, but I'm not certain, that in relation to the summit, the board is expecting a proposal sooner rather than later, so it has to make a judgment. Now, I'm not convinced, I'm not familiar with what we do have, and if we have something, then that's a heads up that I'm just not familiar with it, so that's fine.
No estoy familiarizado, pero no hay problema.
Go ahead, Nick.
The summit's proposal has been sent to the Board Finance Committee for them to review and provide a recommendation to the full board, along with the other elements of the budget.
We provided it on the date given, which was, correct me if I'm wrong, the 23rd or 25th of last month? June.
No, junio.
That is possibly not as important as the fact that
no
Mr. Jeffries had it a month ago, and it's gone on to the next place in policy.
To be clear, how long has the Board Finance Committee had it?
I don't know precisely what date the Board Finance Committee got it, but I sent it in to Denise and company on the 11th or
May 11th,
just June.
June 11th. Oh, okay, so it's a matter of days, not
it's not that long yet.
But that was actually when we were asked to provide it. In fact, Nick sending it on, it was actually prior to the deadline for us to send it on to be included in the board papers. Any other questions, gentlemen? Go ahead.
Adelante.
Je voudrais poser ma question.
Si, quiero hacer una pregunta en francés, si es posible. Así que los que no tengan audífonos, por favor. He tomado buena nota. Lo dicho por los diferentes miembros de esta reunión. Y tengo una pregunta al señor Ismiraiser. He entendido bien su descripción, pero quería saber si tenía algún deseo particular o una recomendación particular para el Consejo. Gracias.
Azumi.
Thank you. We haven't really concluded either as a working group or the outcome of the workshop to a specific recommendation at this stage to the board. However, the sentiment, if I may, is that it is very important for all the ICANN community to work together, including the address allocation areas, as well as more of operation areas which may not be necessarily under the direct purview of the narrow mission of ICANN, but it's heavily related to. That was rather my personal summary. I think Thomas or others may have. Thomas was there yesterday, and you can perhaps help me if it's okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have nothing more to add at this point. I think the working group needs to decide, you know, what its next steps are.
Okay, any further questions?
¿Alguna otra pregunta más?
Any comments or questions from the table?
De entorno a la mesa?
Any comments or questions from the wider audience of observers and regional at large members?
Y los miembros de regionales?
Yes, go ahead, Robert, and then Wolf.
Y después Wolf.
I have a comment to make about something else later, but I think in regards to the summit, I'm a little bit surprised kind of at the question because this has been dialogue with the board a bit, but I mean the summit, you know, one of our summit leads, Wolf or Evan can tell you, you know, more encapsulated, but we see this as a very strategic event, given the broad user community that ALARC, you know, that ALAC is supposed to represent, for us to be strategic, it's really a strategic meeting. To really empower us to be more involved in ICANN and really engage the user community. So we really see this as part of our mandate and just wanting to work with the board and the community to make us be able to connect with our user base better, but also as going forward. So it's a very quick summary, but my other colleagues could probably say it more eloquently.
Well,
I was just pinpointing to Robert said he wanted to speak.
Fine, he actually Skyped me, so I... That was us. All right, I still have you on the list then. That brings us, as we're talking about policy development, to a very short now, very short, review on what we've been doing in our one-day workshop. This year, on our Sunday one-day meeting, which, of course, as of our last meeting, has included the regional at-large members as well. So it is a one-day workshop beyond the ALAC, but also to include the regional at-large secretariats. And, in fact, I think we had quite a number of ALSs, ALS representatives from Europe here as well. The focus was on policy development, not, as we have previously done, process work or team development going in reverse order. And we were honoured to have a number of very specific briefings, and I might actually quickly toss to Nick so he can list them and who gave them to us. But what that allowed us to do in the later afternoon was break into small working groups and focus on a single topic of choice based on the briefing and then come out with a working group action plan that will now carry forward for the intersessional work on each activity. And if you might, do you wish to speak to the matter, Fatemata? Because I think you had a very important point to make, and I would now toss to you and then to Nick. Thank you.
Te doy a ti la palabra y luego a Nick.
Merci.
Sí, you, gracias, Cheryl. Pues sí, lo que acaba de decir usted coincide efectivamente con lo que nosotros ya hemos debatido.
The specific results that we obtained in a short space of time regarding policy development
nos han inspirado
inspired us
de manera que ahora
to work together, perhaps in groups or all together, on a single subject, in order to come to an agreement on a common decision to put to the board. So therefore, I strongly support that proposal. It will help us be more concrete
o para que seamos más concretos,
and,
para que tengamos resultados
que establezcan
más una diferencia dentro
de ALAC. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick, if you got the moment, the list of all the exciting things we did.
Yes, there were briefings on IDNs, both CCTLD and GTLD, including the state of the art of the work of the IDNC working group by Bart and Tina, followed by new GTLD's overview of the policy and the current state of implementation planning, which was done by Olaf. And after that, Patrick Jones gave an update on the GTLD registry failover project.
Sorry. Thanks, Nick. I think it also bears mentioning, albeit not as a something we have done, but something we are doing, and that we are going to be discussing at greater length in our meeting later this afternoon, and that is we've been having briefings, which some of you may have indeed attended, with other constituencies. So, for example, we had the ESAC do a very well-attended Fast Flux briefing using the Adobe meeting tool, so there was a shared collaborative whiteboard space and the ability to chat online. Most importantly, from the ALAC perspective, however, is the use of the ADIGO telephone bridge tool, which allows us to run these meetings with simultaneous real-time interpretation into French and Spanish channels. And that, I think, is a very important part of this outreach and education exercise. So I think it's worthy of the board noting. I think the recent success of the last two that we've had, one on new GTLDs and one on Fast Flux, and we trust that we'll be continuing those. We've also produced for discussion this afternoon a policy advice development flowchart and process outline based on the last few mechanisms that we have used. So we are actually finding the nodes and identifying them in a graphic form where both information needs to go out to our people and how and when it needs to come in and that will stop a number of the, we didn't know about that reactions to things that are often final closing. And, oh, thank you. Oh, we're just having an example of the Adobe Connect tool there. And if we're going back now, unless there's any questions from anyone else on the first matter of the agenda, I will declare that closed, and we will move to, again, something I cannot read, which says, I believe, briefing from the board on the current situations of IDNCC TLDs. And Hong, as I'm chairing, I think it's appropriate that that you take the lead on any questions and issues you'd like to raise with the board on the fast track. You now have an extended, massive amount of, five, maybe 6 minutes for an interchange between the board and us on IDN fast track CCTLD. Thank you, Hong.
Thanks, Rara. I really do not need 5 minutes, but I hope that the board member could briefly brief us about the discussion, about the possible timeline for reviewing this fast-track proposal that's going to be submitted by CCNSO on this Thursday. We've noted that for the new GTLD process, the document was submitted to the board, and the board obviously was reviewing it very carefully, and the staff had been working very diligently to draft the implementation solution, and it's not been approved. So we want to know, does this fast-track process is also going to take that long time? This is fast-track. Do we have a fast-track approval process?
Thomas?
Yeah, so let me give an attempt to sort of my view here, and I'm not going to speak definitively on behalf of the board because we don't really have a position. You know, in some sense, you know, this may be frustrating to people outside the board, but the board doesn't really do anything until it gets a formal proposal that is percolated up. So a lot of times we know things are coming, and we sort of anticipate it. We have, you know, discussions that are informal that may actually go from one extreme to the other as different issues are discussed. But until we actually have the firm, concrete proposal in front of you, you really can't say what the board is going to do, because there may be a showstopper in there that wasn't, you know, anticipated or something. And especially since in this case things are still in flux, and it's always a challenge to have something be a, you know, sort of come to the board on Thursday and then have the Thursday board member, you know, board meeting approve that, because when are the board members supposed to actually review the material? Anyway, just a couple things. The board clearly understands that the point of the fast track is to be, quote-unquote, fast. You know, if we take as long as the new GTLD process and so forth, we've missed the boat, and everybody understands that. You sort of made the comment that there are, you don't want to get, that there are no technical, you don't want the technical concerns to be, you know, that are implicit with fast track to fall back to doing, you know, sending this back to having it all be relegated back to having to do the same thing that's going on for the new GTLD process, and then have them both be done at the same time. One thing I want to make clear is the technical issues for fast track and non-fast track are exactly the same. You know, when I say technical issues, I'm thinking about, you know, pure operational things, what goes in the DNS, how do we make it work. The tricky parts are all policy. And I think that you know, even though the work is percolating to the board, I think there are still some fairly big issues outstanding that have not been addressed. And I don't want to say it in a bad way so much as there are issues floating around on which there is not closure yet. I mean, and one example is there is a view that the CCIDN TLDs should be treated exactly the same way as the current ASCII CCTLDs in terms of relationships with ICANN and whether there needs to be some sort of agreement on how to run and operate those registries. And there have been discussions about whether that is appropriate, and the board hasn't, you know, decided that yet. So that's an issue that still needs to be worked through and is not going to happen, you know, literally overnight. So I just wanted to raise that. That's it.
Counter? assumed you would have a follow-on. Oh, thank you. That's very helpful. But yesterday, from the public forum, we noticed that one source of day has been a highlight for new GTLD process. It will be second quarter of 2009. And I heard from the CCNSO community that it seems that the fast track will also be sort of consistent with that timeline. Second quarter,
So let me respond. I believe, but I'm not maybe wrong, that the second quarter date probably refers to when there's a call for proposals and that process starts. That's not the same thing as it actually going forward. There's going to still be a lot of work done when proposals come in, sorting through them and so forth. So the timetables wouldn't necessarily be in sync there. You're looking like that's not right.
If my memory is correct, the second quarter of 2008, it should be the time for ICANN to receive applications for new GTLD.
Right, but my point is also the process for vetting applications for new GTLDs is certainly going to be longer than what we would presume it would be longer than what would be needed for fast track. So even if they're sort of submitted at roughly the same time, and I'm not saying that's what will happen, the timeline for resolving them and getting something actually into the route is likely to be different, with one being much shorter than the other.
This is a very valuable observation. Another issue that is really about the IDN CCTLD arrangement with ICANN. I guess you heard a lot from the CCNSO and CCTLD community. Most people wouldn't like to go through the re-delegation process just to have a formal triangle arrangement with ICANN. And in many CCTLD territory, that seems is either very time-consuming or a very complicated process that will really make the fast track very slow. I really want to listen from board member. What is your thinking, initial thinking on this? Would you really want to go through that formal process, triangle arrangement, IANA process, or you think about alternative solutions such as an exchange of letter, a simple commitment from both parties?
Dennis would like the mic. Thank you.
Dennis Jennings again. Now, again, I'm not speaking for the board, and I may not have got this correct, but my understanding is that the local internet community, including the government, will make a specific proposal as to who the CCTLD manager, or the CCIDN or the IDN CCTLD manager will be. And there then is a question of whether that proposed manager meets the technical and other requirements of ICANN. But the process, as I understand it's going to be proposed, is that the local internet community, and especially including the government, will make a proposal, including the name and the CCTLD manager. We don't have that firmly confirmed to us, so I'm assuming that that is what will emerge in the documents that we get. What the documents will not cover is the relationship between ICANN and the new CCIDN or IDN CCTLD manager. There is an assumption that an IDN CCTLD is identical to an assumption in the CC community, that it's identical to an existing CCTLD. That's not a view that's shared by all the board members. The existing ISO 3166 CCTLDs pre-existed ICANN. Now, ICANN is creating these new CCIDNs, and the question then is what is the appropriate relationship, the relationship framework, the compliance framework, and the financial framework relating to these new CCIDNs, and the board has not received information on that, nor has it considered it.
Sorry. won't call for further questions or discussions on this matter now, because as you will have all observed, we have both the chairman of the board and the president of ICANN here, and I would very much like to take the very short amount of time we have with these gentlemen to discuss the matter, which is a floater on the agenda, just to warn you, gentlemen. Yes, it is almost impossible to read, I agree. It does say the matter of of GNSO improvements will be discussed when the chairman of the board and the president are present. So just in case you haven't heard enough, this is what you're in for. But first of all, I will offer the I'll offer the microphone to both of you. I assume you would like to go first, Peter, or Paul?
Well, thank you very much for having us, and you're obviously having a great debate with other directors, and I'm not sure that Paul and I can really add much to the excellent service you're being provided with. And I'm also not quite sure how you want to approach this, Madam Chair. Do you want me? I've just come, as you know, from the cross-constituency meeting where one chunk of the GNSO reform parties were present for 2 hours, and we've discussed it quite extensively. I can give a personal view, or I can answer questions. What would be most useful to your meeting?
I actually suspect, having heard your personal view, that sharing your personal view might avert some questions.
I have some concerns with the work that's been done to date. I'm not sure that that is sufficient, and a lot of work has been done. Let's begin by acknowledging, first of all, the LEC report, and then the work that's done in reforming that and taking that into account by our own working group, and there's been a considerable amount of consultation done. That said, I think what that has revealed is that there are a couple of issues that could require further analysis. I'm not quite sure that the problems that are sought to be repaired are sufficiently well understood, and we had a list of issues given to us today as a sort of an example of the kind of things that would have been fixed if the system had been different. And I think for some of the board and some of the others, that was the first time that kind of analysis had been done. So I think the principle, the problem may need further analysis, and then some of the solutions may need further analysis. That's a much shorter version, obviously.
I'll just ask a question, I think. I will ask this question from a different perspective than some of the thoughts that the chairman raised earlier. So he was obviously doing it on a personal basis, so let's have a series of personal questions. The first model, or the earliest sort of model of the GNSO, was essentially some sort of balance between self-defining constituencies, but roughly who were supply-side and demand-side. They were self-defining, and there was always an emphasis upon self-definition and people being able to create more constituencies. And, you know, put roughly, the swing vote was the NOMCOM-appointed phenomenon. That, for some reason or other, seems, in people's reviews, what have you, not to have achieved the outcome people hoped for. And I'm interested to know why they feel that. And then I'm also interested in that the sort of the one part that's not been, one thing that hasn't been discussed in the proposal that's been put to us, nor in, frankly, the working group report sort of refers to it, but thinks it's a nominating committee review issue. And I can tell you the nominating committee review is going to say, you tell us how many you want, we'll just tell you about the process for selection, but you tell us how many you want, we're not going to tell you that answer. I'm sort of interested to know whether that's part of the formula that needs to be considered here in terms of the numbers and the criteria and the type of standard that should be applied. I mean, what is the standard you ask the nominating committee members to apply? We heard this morning that some have just applied their naturally have applied their own sort of personal experience. And I think there was Philip Shepherd made this observation this morning in the other constituency, but I think there is something in what he said. I think at the board level,
There is a very strong sense of public interest, public trust, responsibility and fiduciary obligation by all board members. So I think while personal experience has been one thing, all the nominating committee board members have bring that sort of view to what they do. So I'm sort of interested to know, why is this part of the formula not being talked about? Everybody's sort of talking about, you know, my vote versus X's vote, and you know, but they're not talking about what was supposed to be the circuit breaker. Nobody's talking about it. I don't know why.
Alan, I know you wish to speak to this matter.
I guess I happen to be one of the people who feel strongest about this. I've been on the sitting on the GNSO for the last couple of years, or last 2 years, as the liaison from the ALAC, and my perception is that although the NOMCOM people may have been put there to be the swing vote to balance the other two sides, as it were, I think NOMCOM people bring something to the table that is different from people who all have a vested interest in domains, whether they're selling them or buying them. And I strongly feel that the NOMCOM position should be maintained and maintained as voting members, regardless of whether they're the swing vote or not. I think they bring something different to the table, and I think it's an important aspect. That's a personal view. I know it's held by some people here.
But you say they're different. Different from what, I suppose? And let me do a follow-up question. Is there a standard that we ought to apply to them? Should we say to them, in making your judgments, you should the following standard, you know, you should be making a judgment in the public interest, or you should be clearly making your decision in your perceptions of the public trust, or, you know, I'm just playing with like words here.
You're talking about the NOMCOM person making a decision on the, regarding policy issues being discussed.
I'm sorry, I'm going to fail very quickly in many ways. I've just received a notice of the death of a very dear friend and close colleague. I'm now going to have to pass to Vanda to chair. I will just go and make the phone calls to the people who need to be called. Excuse me.
I'm not sure the answer is very different whether they're making it in what they believe is the best way or for the public good, because I think that's if they don't have a vested interest and a constituency who is part of the business model, then I think the two pretty well coincide in most times. So I'm not sure there's a huge difference. But regardless, they are doing it not driven by someone in the background who's saying this is what I think you should vote, who has a vested interest in it. It's an opportunity for different things. It's also an opportunity, or has been in the last couple of years, to fill gaps in the knowledge or the range of people who are on the GNSO, and certainly the guidelines the GNSO has provided to the nominating committee has tried very much to identify what kinds of people they're looking for, and it's essentially people who can lend new views and needed views into the discussions.
I think the question still remains, though, if this was differently structured, if the three nominating committee members were appointed for the purposes of executing voting for a particular purpose, that would be the very simplest restructuring that would need to be done. And so I'm trying to get some sense from you as to whether that is a likely source of progress with this. If the NOMCOM appointments haven't functioned in the way they were supposed to function, which is as the deal breaker or the deal broker, and that was fixed, that would be a very simple solution to the problem. So I guess I'm trying to work out whether from your experience of seeing them in action and the issues that they face, whether that's worth pursuing, or do you think that no longer a really, you know, just has an idea that won't ever work.
As I I said, to what extent the people were put on the NOMCOM, the NOMCOM people were put on the GNSO to act as the deal breakers, the balancing vote. There are NOMCOM people on pretty much all of the other organizations, the ALAC and the board and the CCNSO, and I'm not sure they were there as the balancing numbers to make sure that there's no sway. So I think the concept of NOMCOM members is applicable to the GNSO even if it's not a vote balancing issue. I think that's all I'm saying. I was rather surprised when the issue came up of taking away the votes. If you start looking into the reason, some people may have a vested interest because the NOMCOM people don't always agree with them. But that's
maybe to clarify or to add a little bit to this, is it really the case that the NOMCOM appointees tend to bring a broader perspective as opposed to, having a sort of an interest already in, from having, living and breathing a particular area, and that they may not directly be a swing vote in the traditional, voting model, but their effect is that they broaden the discussion and are more inclined to sort of not necessarily go to stick to, predictable or positions, party lines, so to speak.
I think that's an accurate description.
I don't want to delve too much into this except to say there are a diversity of views of this, some of which extend even to the ALAC review and the role of the NOMCOM. There is some debate going on those very issues.
We're going to have some discussion about the ALAC review. The next item is talk about the new GTO team. Yes.
Could we stick on the GTSO?
Okay.
GNSO for just a moment.
Okay.
I think from the ALAC's point of view, the number one issue is to give the end user viewpoint a seat at the table during policy making, not just as an ability to comment afterwards as it is for the ALAC. Of the varied structures that have been proposed, pretty much any of them could work to address that ALAC need, that at large need. If you, it could be as simple as taking the current Board of Board Governance Committee proposal and simply changing the non-commercial word from non-commercial registrants to non-commercial users, and it would open up the table for us. And I think that's at the crux of the at large requirement, that is to give people representing users, people who look at the impact on decisions from a user point of view, not from an industry point of view, an opportunity to sit at the table.
I don't understand the principle underlying the proposal that you've supported. I certainly don't understand where the numbers, the one-third, one-third, one-third come from. And I don't understand why, if there are business users and non-commercial users already there, what additional rationale there is for bringing at-large users. Can you explain what's... answer those?
The business users and the non-commercial users under today's definitions are not users as such, but registrants. We're not looking at the N million or... hundreds of thousands of registrants, but the 1.3 billion users and the impact of decisions on them. Currently, under the current definition for the GNSO and the BGC proposal, there is no opportunity for that. The business community proposal with the 444, we're open to making that change, and we supported that. The impact on us of the four times four or three times four or three times six is not as large as simply providing an opportunity for the end user representatives to sit at the table.
Thank you. Just to clear one point, you know, as a non-voting vice chair of the nomination committee who was 2 years a voting member of the nomination committee, to be very clear, it's exactly what Thomas has said, you know, the NomCom never selected a candidate for to represent an individual interest. So it was to bring the broader perspective to the council, you know, to have additional skills in the council and not to follow, you know, as a very special interest of one special group. I think this is the guideline for the NomCom, at least in the 3 years where I have served in the committee.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Wolfgang. Thomas, please.
Yeah, so, Sal, just a quick question. I mean, you said that the primary requirement in some sense is to be sure that you had a seat at the table during policy making. And the question I really have is, do the current proposal or proposals do that adequately in your mind?
The BGC proposal does not, because it very clearly says that the non-commercial stakeholder group is for non-commercial registrants. As I said, if it changed that one word changed to non-commercial users, it would certainly satisfy that aspect, because it means there could be an at-large constituency within that stakeholder group. The proposal that originated with the business constituencies has made that change, and therefore is far more acceptable to us than the other one. With an appropriate change, the other one could be reasonably acceptable to us also.
So I believe that we could go ahead and talk about the ELAC preview.
Who's going to...
Let's start with the GTLD. We have we had a very long section and many explain for the process, and we had some points that we really not agree. We're going to talk about that. Okay. Bo?
Yeah, thanks. As we discussed earlier in this meeting, the at-large had some concerns about the recommendation 6, specifically pertaining to language that talked about evaluation criteria using the words morality and public order, and with reference to the appropriate bylaws, we believe that that's not in the best interest of the ICANN community or ICANN. So there has been a lot of discussion in the group among the last couple of days about we realize that this is very far down the road in this process, but we wanted to find the most useful way to make a statement of concern about the notion of ICANN getting into morality and public order as an evaluation criteria for new GTLDs.
Thanks for that. Perhaps I can talk to the issue in several ways. First of all, what the board has asked and is what's presenting here is the GNSO process produced the policy recommendations. The policy has not yet been confirmed by the board. The board asked management to go away and see whether they thought it was implementable. In other words, take these policies, go away, see whether you can implement them. If you think they're implementable, come back and tell us. And what will be before the board for consideration this week is whether they will then approve the policy, not the implementation. So we've had a lot of discussion, starting discussion this week with the community about implementation steps. The implementation process has just come out for consultation and for discussion. I don't see that being concluded for at least another 2 months. months. What the implementation steps will result in is a draft request for proposals and accompanying contract, and that's how you put in, that's the instrument to put the implementation process into effect will be those documents, and they will also be out for consultation and decision making. So just to be clear, at least what we're facing this week, we're just talking about the policy part of it. The second part, just to come to your particular point, is that the policy does not put morality or public order, a phrase that comes from international treaties, particularly things also related to patents. It does not put it as a criteria.
We'll be quite clear about this.
It is an objection. It's a grounds for objection. It is not a grounds for selection.
So
what does that mean? If somebody puts up a term and nobody objects, then the term goes through. Okay, so it's not like that ICANN would sit there and do a first test on any application saying, is this pass the test of morality or public order. And we're still working through the issues of who has standing in order if they wanted to make an objection. The third related issue, I think, is at least in terms of implementation discussions we've had and we're sharing with the board, we are in discussions with and we're unfortunately not free at this moment to share the details because they've asked us specifically not to. But we are in discussions with very well-known, well-established international arbitration entities who are actually also potentially giving us advice about how such process could work and are also giving us very interesting advice back in implementation levels about, for instance, this particular term, where it occurs in international treaty language and experience about that. So we have not yet come back to the board with a final set of implementation sort of experience on that. The narrow question is it implementable? I think we'll probably come back to the board and say, yes, board, we think it is implementable. We're not saying here is an implementation to approve. We're just saying broadly we think at staff level you could implement this. A very core part of our feedback is this: if anyone is to make a judgment about such a phrase or term, it must not be ICANN.
Entonces, no será ICANN quien
we are not an organization
haga.
To make such a judgment. If the policy is to have that
nada,
as a grounds
si
for objection for third parties to object to a stream, we will be saying quite strongly
we would
recommend experienced other entities that have that potentially that skill set and experience, but it will not be us, and any objection would be dealt with by them. So that's a sort of nuanced answer to your proposal,
but
because it's first of all saying it's the policy does not say it's a selection criteria. Secondly, it says we are saying if it is done, the decision would not be, it would not be done by ICANN, it would be done by an experienced independent party. And then thirdly, the issue, of course, is do you agree with the policies at all? Right? I mean, you may not agree with that as a thing in the policy at all. But I can say from the management perspective, that's not been us to decide. We were asked to go and see whether you could implement a policy proposal that was put forward.
Thank you, Paul Hobart.
Gracias, Paul Hobart. ¿Desea intervenir?
Good morning. My name is Robert Guerra. I'll just kind of comment again and maybe echo what Bo is saying and just saying that this has been an issue of really passionate discussion by ALAC, and a lot of users are very concerned about the phrase. I will not, I could say a lot more, but it is very problematic for us, particularly for the reason because the particular words of morality and public order have been used in the past to suppress freedom of expression. And so one of the issues that came up the other day when this was discussed is just mentioning it in a void is problematic. If our framework is mentioned in terms of what are some underlying principles or statement that it, like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a principle that we adhere to, and then see the morality and public order item as then seeing under that, it's fine. But seeing it in a phrase, in a vacuum, allows it to be used by undemocratic governments to stifle free expression, and that is problematic. Number two, for ICANN to mention this implies that it now has some status as an international organization and is implying that it has the ability to be, you know, things that it's clearly not in its mandate. And so, you know, there will be a statement coming out on ALAC probably by the end of this meeting that will clarify and mention our specific concerns. This internet users are very concerned about this phrase, and, you know, please be aware of that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have just... Yes, okay.
Can I just make it very clear? I think you should not be any, under any misapprehension that that concern has been heard and is understood, certainly at board level, and I think even inside GNSO councils and others. So I don't want you to have any feeling that people do not understand, and by all means make the statement you wish to make, but I just want to be quite clear. I think we all understand and have heard and appreciate that sentiment. Okay, so I don't want any misunderstanding about that.
And if I could just add, Paul, there I can assure you that there are passionate defenders of free speech on the board, and that this topic has occupied a great deal of our time as well.
We need to use the time of Peter to talk a little bit about the ALAC review. So who's going to want to speak about the ALAC review?
Well, we haven't really come to a single position yet, given the little time, and there are different sentiments and reactions as far as I have observed. But in general, my personal view is that, well, that report is a little bit troublesome, seemingly concluding some areas like maintain the liaison, not giving voting power. I don't mean that I personally disagree with that per se, but the rationale or the amount of work behind that seemingly is very weak to us. It would be better if there are comparative, you know, analysis of different ways and gives pros and cons in a more sort of factual manner. Because I'm sure many of those who were interviewed or, you know, with others have said different things, and largely some of those who, you know, proposed that, say like giving voting power, felt that their voices weren't heard at all, which may not be the case. Like, similarly, there's very little mention about the history, while some people, if not all, have their own or our own baggages from the history. I don't want to revisit the whole process of history per se, but at least there are certain good lessons learned from the history so that we do not have to repeat some of the problems, but also take the good lessons forward. And I feel that these are not well articulated in the report or the languages. I said that to the consultants already, and seemingly they are taking some of our inputs, but that's my personal observation. Being the member of ALAC from interim status, I was also the membership advisory committee of the first round of the global election thing, and so on and so forth. Thank you.
Someone else went to...
Please.
I think it's fair to say, and I'll strengthen what Izumi said, is the range of opinions at this point, given that we've only had a week to look at it, range from stomp it into the ground and make it disappear quickly to, yeah, it's pretty good, there's a couple of things I disagree with. So I don't think we're in the position to give an ALAC opinion at this point. I found it very pleasing that they didn't come in with what is almost a standard consultant's reply to a structural question of, you need to reorganize it all immediately, and this is how to do it. I was also very pleased that they acknowledged the fact that this is quite a different group than the interim ALAC, and the fact that the review was done at this point based on a clock that started for the original ALAC was perhaps not the best decision.
And
I think acknowledging the fact that this is a new group that's just started to work isn't a very important plus in that report. And we need to work through the, you know, exactly what we want to come out as our opinion, if there is one, or the multiple opinions that we have on it.
I
have to go, so I just want to say thank you for having me. Paul, I'm going to stay, and you've got other directors to help. The obvious comment is that nobody who gets reviewed seems to like it. So just bear that in mind. Please don't stop the work of the ground. I know you wouldn't. Hopefully you'll encourage your colleagues not to do that. We really do have to work out a process of having a formal response to the working group in a reasonably prompt amount of time and then move forward. I'd be very concerned if we got into another GNSO reform, because we're seeing the same kind of pattern. We really do have to get better at this in terms of organisation. And remember, this is going to happen every 3 years. So it may be that this report isn't the best, and maybe that some of these reforms will be undone at the next term, but there will be another time. So, you know, the perfect is the enemy of the good. You may not get it. You're right, and I see the chairman of the working group is here, and I'm not suggesting that she and the work isn't perfect. But, you know, there has to be some sense of progress about this and moving on. Thanks.
Well, let's thank you to Peter. Peter, thank you. And that I need to give the word to Tricia, who's in the queue. Please, Tricia.
Mine's very short, and really to reiterate what we said at yesterday's meeting, which was the meeting for Westlake to present the report. But in terms of process, their report isn't yet finalized. As you know, it's been agreed there's an extra 2 weeks to give the comments to the draft report, and I haven't seen lots yet bulging there, so please put those comments in. And that's really the beginning of the next process for the working group to start its work. And as you know, there is a session at 2:00 tomorrow for comments in the broader sense to start, plus there are two office hour sessions that have been set up. And picking up on Peter, on the chairman's point, we also yesterday set the marker in terms of, as well as introducing the rest of the working group, to our timetable, which is for the Cairo meeting to have a State of the Nation report, which means that it's not the final report, but it's where the thinking is. And it would be the final report if nothing else were added. But really, we absolutely want the final report to be done in time for the spring meeting, but then I was told in Australia it's not spring, in March. So for the March meeting, and for that really hopefully to have had a broad-ranging input. I think there's lots of lessons being learned in terms of the GNSO review work, so hopefully things get faster. And also the staff report, the staff support that we've received to date with Denise and her team, and now Patrick Sherry is going to be helping as well, has been excellent. So really what we want is from you to say everything and input it into us, because unless we have it, we can't reflect it in there. If I can, for the history point, put a marker to say we've heard that. In fact, Carl Auerbach, who's one of the working group members, feels certainly very strongly that in the report a record of what the history meant should be there as a minimum. So that point certainly will be picked up. But we really, really, really want your input through the comments and to let us deliver deliver on time, and I'm sure Paul also wants that because there are many hooks, whether it's on NOMCOM or other things that, that are outstanding that affect other reports. And that's one of the things we hope we can do there. Thank you.
Thank you, Tricia. Aneta, your time, finally.
All right, thanks. I don't want to get into the details of the of our opinions on the report. You will get that in a written way, that's for sure, and you already heard something. You've already picked up the history issue. But I was really puzzled yesterday by the statement of Richard saying that the structure, talking about participation of users on a regional level, that the idea or vision or just the analysis of possible voting rights for users directly or indirectly to the board was not in the scope of the review. And that really puzzled me because we are actually talking about the structure, how do we make it work and what do users expect and how can they do make an impact. And all these layers of indirectness are a real problem to us. So if the analysis of that is not in the scope of the review, then I don't know what the review is about. And then we were told, and this might be interesting for the review folks of the board review, we were told that that is actually a board review issue. And good luck.
Sabrina. Merci. Deux points.
No. Thank you. I have 2 points.
Gracias. Dos puntos.
I'll
el miembro del consejo.
Put your headsets on if you need them for the interpreting.
Les voy a dar tiempo para que se pongan los auriculares. Primero,
first of all,
lo que quiero decir es que el informe de Westlake de los consultores es muy interesante y ello por dos motivos. Primero,
first of all, porque, it was quite rich in content, but also it's the method that they applied.
I found that Westlake's method que han empleado nos deja muchas posibilidades de reacción, de contrapropuestas, etcétera. Así que me atrevería casi a decir que algunas de las posiciones que figuran en el informe Westlake podrían generar ciertas reacciones, provocar las reacciones. Pues de eso se trata justamente, de incitar a la comunidad a presentar propuestas, contrapropuestas frente a las de los asesores para poder nutrir el debate. Segundo comentario, con relación ahora al método que a mi juicio convendría que ustedes adopten. Y aquí me intervengo como miembro del grupo de trabajo presidido por Patricia Drex. Cuanto más eficaces quieran ser y si desean realmente que el informe se entregue en un plazo razonable, bueno, pues hay que hacer lo necesario entonces porque su parte de análisis sobre cada una de las partes del informe se base en algo muy concreto y esté bien fundamentado. Es decir, que no basta con decir a mí no me gusta esto o no me gusta lo otro, no me parece que esto esté bien o no me parece que lo otro esté bien. Yo lo que les pido es que, por favor, hagan propuestas. No basta con decir no quiero, que digan no quiero y esto es lo que yo propongo.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas.
Thomas.
Just to speak to the specific point about voting rights and scope, the working group has actually had a bit of a conversation about that, and I think it's fair to say that the question of, for example, of whether there should be voting representation on the board is at the skirts of the edge of whether it's within the scope of the review. And I think to go back, you have to look at what the review is actually doing. It's tasked by the bylaws, and the bylaws specifically say to review the structure of the ALAC. And this, I think, fits in the gray area that sort of you can make arguments that it does impact the ALAC structure, and you can also make the argument that it's not really, doesn't impact how the ALAC works. And so I think if you want to raise the point about voting rights and things like that, it would be very helpful to tie it back to the terms of reference to show why it applies or why it impacts the ALAC as an organization.
Okay.
And oh, and in terms of the, I think there is some recognition that sort of saying this is going to be handled by the board review is not really covering the bases, because it's not clear the board review will cover this question either, and it may end up falling through the cracks. And that, in some sense, is the difficulty with a number of independent reviews of pieces of the organization and then having things fall through the crack. And I, certainly my view is this is an issue that may be falling in those cracks.
Yes, I recognize the need to go into the details of the functioning of the ALAC and the day-to-day operations, and insofar, you know, the mandate of this review was clear but very limited. What I have in mind is that time is more than ripe to have a more strategic approach to the role of at-large in ICANN. In particular, you know, when we look beyond the GPA, and I would put this into a broader context, and I can only encourage the committee under Tricia's leadership to have this broader view and to look into other bodies which are, you know, now on the globe, including the IGF, including the OECD, which is now planning to have a civil society advisory council for the internet economy. So that means really to come up with an innovative idea how to improve the interaction among the various constituencies in ICANN, the various stakeholders, and to redefine the role of at-large in the ICANN structure. You know, according to the amendment to the joint project agreement, ICANN has the task to become a model of a multi-stakeholder organization. This is a good slogan, but it's not yet clear what does it mean, in particular if it comes to the interaction and concrete procedures. And this was not part of the terms of reference for the review, but I think it should be the subject also of the committee to look into this broader context, because this is a strategic issue and will help that ICANN remains the front runner in moving forwards with a multi-stakeholderism on a global scale, and will ICANN also protect against probably new efforts by governments to step in and to say, you know, they represent the users and they represent the people and they want the control of ICANN. There is a risk that this debate comes back after 2009, and ICANN has to be prepared, and I think a proper role of the at-large in the ICANN structure, which goes beyond the recommendations of the review, is extremely important, and we have a good opportunity now with this new committee. And by the way, Tricia, it was not only Karl Auerbach who was part of the elections. Nick Wehner became also the free elected representative of Africa, and Vittorio was the chair of the interim at-large committee, so you have all the history in the board. Make use of this history. Thank you.
Just, I would actually have made that point. It was just Karl came through there, but Nia is also active, and I'm sure we'll be speaking at tomorrow's section. So my point was really we have the balance there, and clearly in terms of the Westlake report, that was an independent report, and we didn't give input into what they said, but just really that they delivered and supported staff in doing that. But yes, we have a very broad group there, and we also want you to provoke us and to give input on that. Thank you for making that clear.
Okay, now we have Robert and Evan, Vittorio, Alan, and Annette.
This is Robert. I just want to make maybe two quick comments. I think what's the comments made earlier, I think, is useful for ALAC to know in terms of the steps going forward and how we can best comment on the period. We were given the report in short notice, and so being able to respond, I think, is a gut reaction that came out first. But hearing that this is it's being seen in a broader context and that specific input and a reaction is requested is much useful. And so, you know, any type of guidance in terms of the timeline so we can comment appropriately has not necessarily been so instructed to us, and so we're happy that those comments are coming in. On a specific issue on the report, one that I see which is perhaps a bit lacking, which I've commented many times now about, which I would like to make clear to our guests, is the issue that if ALAC is envisioned as a structure that is supposed to represent internet users, and increasingly there are more internet users and we'll have to probably scale up, comments on
how we plan for strategy and the issue of scaling ALAC. So instead of perhaps representing 100 ALSs, we'd be representing thousands of ALSs, as that's probably a better way. Structurally, we cannot handle that now. And those challenges that ALAC faces going forward, if it were to grow, perhaps aren't as addressed as they should in the report. And that is a strategic kind of item that's missing, and you know, that would be something that I was expecting to see in the report, and I would hope that, you know, there could be some discussion on that as consideration, as the board considers not only the review of ALAC as a structure, but if it's envisioned to grow to really represent the internet users of the world, then what will be the resources and challenges going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Evan.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I would have hoped that the way that this was done would have been handled a little better, because I think what happened was, for instance, in our region, a lot of the ALS reaction that we had was visceral. It was of the stomp category. And I think it had to do more with the way that this was done. I would have much rather it had something where this week could have been used as a way to consult, as a way to codify things, and perhaps not to have done the draft until the end of this week to allow some consultation to happen. I think the order in which things happened, the process in which things happened, almost encouraged a kind of hasty, visceral reaction that really hasn't been extremely positive. And in response to one of the earlier comments, you absolutely have, at least from my neck of the woods, our word that we will be turning this into positive alternative contributions. I mean, it's one thing to say we have a visceral reaction to this, but without being able to offer some positive commentary of what we would rather have, it just comes across as complaints. So believe me, you have our word that there will be some very constructive work coming out at the end of this.
Okay, thank you. Thomas, please.
Just a quick follow-up. I think, you know, this sort of goes without saying, but maybe we should clarify in terms of the working group, you know, what we want. I mean, what I would expect to see in terms of next steps and input is what is wrong in the report, like what recommendations do they get wrong and why are they wrong, and probably more important, what did they not say that they should have said, okay? And then, you know, I will also concede that in some sense the timing is certainly suboptimal, you know, in the sense of having the materials available a week before without time for translation and so forth, but that's sort of forced by the schedule we were into. And the next steps really are to sort of step, well, the next steps are to get a, you know, they're going to issue a final report, so this is a draft. I would expect the final report to be close to what it is now, with maybe some corrections or some changes. And then we have to assess what the final report is and what do we do next. And the next part is then how do we take it forward and what are the actual real recommendations we want the board to make.
Thank you, Thomas. Vittorio, please. We don't have so much time. We have.
No, I try to be brief. Speaking personally, as someone who's been on the ALAC, on the board, and in the working group, everywhere. Well, I think that there clearly is an issue, because the way ICANN is doing reviews doing a separate review of each body leaves certain things out of the scope, because they really pertain to different bodies at the same time. And I think you have to understand that the reviewer had a very limited scope. The board governance committee review working group might have a somewhat broader scope. Still, I think that for us in the working group, we still have to understand from the board how longer we can extend and maybe take into account broader issues. But in the end, we'll try to work that out maybe with our current board members, but in the end I think I agree with Wolfgang that the real problem that people seems to be unhappy about not being addressed is that, how is ICANN accountable to the general public in the future? Well, the at-large was meant also to be an instrument for this. And I think this is maybe a bigger problem, bigger than the ALAC review, but somewhere it needs to be addressed, maybe in the post-JPA discussions, which unfortunately I think are going through this President's Strategy Committee, which is in a certain sense is necessary because you're dealing with delicate diplomatic issues, I'd say. But on the other hand, you really need to make that a broader discussion and to involve also the public and all the members of the ICANN community. So maybe the board will have to think at something specific to deal with that question, and maybe the ELAC will have a big role in that process as well. The other point I would like to make is about comments. I think that, well, the only comment I've seen now formally is the one from the North American RALO, and I think it was a bit of overreaction maybe. So I hope you have realized that this is just the beginning of the process. It's not like everything has already been decided, and so there will be time to actually even to contradict the report and to present alternative options. I think it would be good for the ELAC to address not just the issue of, okay, banging on the table because we want the voting rights on the board, but some of the observations of Westlake that are more regarding to the internal structure of the ELAC. For example, they say that they tried to check the websites of the ALSs and half of them maybe were not functional. So does the ELAC have an opinion on that? How can you ensure that all the ALSs are actually functioning and involved? I mean, on those kinds of points, I think it would be very good to get comments from the ELAC. Thank you.
Next one is Alan, please.
There have been a number of comments in the last few minutes about the scope of the review in terms of reference, and I think it's important to note that there was a very specific conflict within them. The scope of the review said this is a review of ALAC, not at large, but then some of the specific questions that the that Westlake was asked to answer related to at large, and, you know, very much to at large, and not the ALAC. So they started with a conflict of what was within scope by the very definition of their assignment. The structure that we're using at large has four levels of hierarchy. I know of very few operational things that work well with four levels of hierarchy. And my gut feeling at this point is that sometime, once we've had more than just a few months of experience in using it, is that we're going to have to look at the whole thing, not only ALAC, but at large. We certainly don't want to change it today, which is now, what, 3 months after we officially got the last part of it together. But I think it's going to bear some strong reflection, whether it's an external reflection or internal, and probably within the next, you know, a year or so. So I think this is something which is in transition regardless of bylaw-mandated reviews. A structure was put together several years ago that now, you know, 4 years later, we're trying to make work. And it's obvious that we're finding things that are less than or suboptimal, I like the expression. And that's only going to be partly reflected in our comments in this review. And I think it's going to be an ongoing process to try to distill the thoughts and needs of 1.3 billion users into something that can be used by ICANN effectively in a time frame which is very short.
Yeah, that's a very good comment. You know, you think about international way and path for the ICANN, we need to have a very good focus on the users. Annette.
Thank you, Vanda. That is interesting. Alan just talked about the four levels, so that should be probably ALS, RALO, ALAC, ICANN, right? What four levels were we talking about?
I was talking about users, ALSs, RALOs, ALAC. What's
okay,
above us?
Five.
Different issue.
Okay, users, ALSs, RALO, ALAC, and then the ICANN as a whole. We could also talk about, in a way, how do we start our work? We could also talk about Dominic, Nick, Denise, Paul, and then Peter and all the others in here. We also have layers of staff, which is also not making life easier. Certainly, I'm talking about non-virtual persons, real persons alive, luckily vivid and alive. And these layers of indirectness are also not very helpful. And I'm talking about the scope again. I think it would have been really helpful to talk about
the at-large work in the whole context. That means also staff, that means also budget, that means do you have some authority to, you know, do what you want to do. We were talking about why isn't there a little book, Internet for Dummies or DNS for Dummies and all that. We actually wanted to do that 2 years ago, and then we were stopped. So because of budget things and confirmation, and it's all very complicated. We could get into details. We don't have the time for it, but if you want to know more about it, go and ask us. There are so complicated things, and life could be, I think, the at-large work. We really, it is a difficult issue, and I don't want to do the review. It is a difficult task because we are actually responsible for all these different issues and not just one constituency, actually all the topics of other constituencies too. But if you want to make a review, then the context of this work, the history is important, the staff is important, the structure is important, and this is just a little hint for the scope. That would be helpful.
También con el alcance. Gracias.
Trish?
Again, just picking up on that and a couple of the others. One, in terms of the scope of the report that was defined, just to reinforce what Thomas said, and this actually happened, and I'm sure Vander will confirm, with the GNSA review, and I'm not talking about the structural part, but all the body of recommendations, where as well as the recommendations as to what should happen, in fact, staff then looked at what it would cost, and there was an allocation put in the budget to support that. I think also in looking at the both the findings and then what it means, because that's important in our task. Exactly, Annette, what you were saying in terms of reaching the users, and I know Niquena's got a lot to say, as do I, but this is probably a bit unfair, but if he's still sitting there, we have Jeremy Beale, who's from our UK CBI, sitting there, and if I were him, this is probably his first ICANN meeting as such, and that's our Confederation of British Industry. It's really important. This probably sounds a lot of jargon and other things there, but we're looking at how we reach the British small business, the British user, and those things really are reinforcing and building on the things that everybody has been saying. So hopefully we can pick some of those points out in making recommendations to Board Governance Committee and Board. And, and we have a very broad group, both of board members, with Thomas and Jean-Jacques and also Harold, who is sitting behind, and former board members on that group. But I think there's accountability and there's other points that we hope we want to do there. So, again, reflecting your comments as well. And thank you for recognizing the task is probably a challenging one, because we agree.
You. What is the name?
One question to the comments. I would like to give a comment. I'm Werner from a German ILS, but it is very difficult for us and also for the French and Spanish-speaking people to give your comments to a 112-pages paper in between 2 weeks if we don't have a translation, and therefore we need more time, or we need as soon as possible as a translation, at least in Spanish, French and German. It should be normal to have this translation. I said at least. Russian perhaps also.
No, he was just talking for the EU, and at least look at the current ALSs. I mean, if we're talking about translation, we all know that it costs a lot of money, but at least serve those who are there. And then we can start outreach and going more to east, and then we certainly would need Russian. That's for sure.
I can tell you that the French and Spanish editions of the summary of the report will be available at the the end of the day tomorrow.
This is not enough. We need the whole report. The whole report. We can't work with a summary. I have the English summary. I have the English whole report. It's not enough. We need as soon as possible. And I would like to have the answer just now that the 2 weeks period starts after publishing the English, Spanish, French, and German translation at the ICANN website. No 1 second earlier.
I'll leave it to the review team to set the dates of the public consultation because I don't actually decide that. The full report, it won't be available on Wednesday because it's so long. So we went with getting the first, the summary is done first so that you would have something sooner because it's so big it will take much longer. You will get it. It will be translated.
I mean, Werner is absolutely right. The commenting time, that's the issue. If you close the comments after publishing the translation.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to close the comment period before the translations are done. I mean, we're not going to do that. And I mean, I think we fully understand that having a comment period that closes before people can reasonably, you know, review it and make comments is silly. So I believe the comment period has already been extended just because right off the board we know it's too short, and it may well be that it's still too short. If it is, put in a request, let's talk about it, and we'll deal with that. I don't think anybody wants to railroad through anything here. It would serve no one's purpose, and it would, you know, would serve no one's purpose.
And I think also to reinforce, I hope to date you've heard that we do listen. So having asked for 2 weeks, which is what the request was, with the help of having current board members on the review group, that was agreed. And as Thomas said, this is, we really do want to report in a timely way, but taking into account what's needed.
Right, just to can I just close? Yeah, to follow, I mean the difficulty with translation is, you know, there are real logistical problems, as you well know. So, I mean, for example, we could have taken the position, we're not going to publish the English version of the document until the translations are available, but that would have effectively taken that off, this entire topic off the table for discussion this week, which presumably would not have been a wise thing to do. So, to use the wording, it's suboptimal, but we're kind of stuck with what we have.
Carlos,
thank you. I don't want to open a can of worms, but I'm just caution to my colleagues as well that translation is a great help, but not the solution. There are certain countries, areas where there's no way to get translation from ICANN. Japanese is one, Finn or many other small nation states. For us, we see French and Spanish for many folks outside France and Spain. They use the language, so that's quite rational. But be aware that we also need to work within the working environment of ICANN. There's no choice for us than using English at some point, which gives tremendous burden to us. And so we like to share that burden all together, not just alienating one side versus other.
That was the Japanese kind way of saying why German and not Japanese or Italian. I mean, really, how do you... I'm surprised about it in German. It's fine to get it in German, but then I would like to discuss it with my ALS members in my language as well.
It affects the structure of ALAC.
Okay, it's Carlos.
Muy bien, Carlos.
Bueno, español. Llegó el turno.
It's my turn. I'm going to speak Spanish. In the report, it's been said, and it's been said here in the meeting too, that ALAC has problems that have to do with translations and multilingualism. There are many regions or many end users of the Internet that don't speak English, and of course they can't read it either. Now, what Bernard just said is something that I entirely agree with. You cannot have a reply to something in a very long document, given the many subjects that we have to deal with, because there's a big volume of subjects that we're dealing with, and they are all contained in very long documents, and they're all in English. And I even think that for native English speakers themselves, it's difficult enough to read through the documents and voice an opinion when they're so extensive and when there's so many of them. So as a Spanish speaker, let me say that not only is this a subject that should be dealt with in a complete document in my own language, but in fact all the documents should be translated, because you're asking the users to participate. Now, if the users don't know what it's all about, if they can't read English, or if they don't have time, because in my country, and I think that this is the case for all of Latin America, the Caribbean, and Africa, the people have lots of things to do to eke out an existence. So they don't always have time to devote to that. Therefore, I think that the document should be translated in order to make participation easier and in order to make all the necessary improvements. I think that there are people in these different continents and regions that have excellent things to say, but they can't do that because they can't read the documents, or because they don't have the time, or because the work's not made any easier for them, or because they're not being listened to, or because no one wants to listen to them. Thank you.
It's Hawa.
Okay, merci, Ivana. Je vois que...
Thank you, Ivana.
Bueno, con el problema de las traducciones y los idiomas, estamos abordando la cuestión más espinosa de la reunión. Y quiero añadir un comentario e insistir. Que se traduzcan los documentos muy bien, pero que se traduzcan con expertos, por favor. Porque con mi experiencia recibo documentos en francés traducidos, pero que difícilmente se pueden entender. Insisto, que trabajen los expertos del ámbito para que la traducción realmente tenga el sentido del documento y que podamos utilizarla de manera útil.
Sí, justamente. That's the precise translation and that's what Izum said. We need to at least have some time and understand that to be together we need a common language in some way. That's not English, is not my language, but anyway, we need to make some effort to be here. So we are in the end of our time. We have GAC, and I'd like to have some feedbacks from the board. So, Annette, if is...
Can I ask Annette? I see Annette, I see Evan, and I see Sebastian, who promises me it's going to be the shortest thing he's ever said. I really, Annette, need you to be unbelievably concise. Same for you, Evan, because the board must have the chance to talk.
Tiene que tener la posibilidad de responder.
The shortest ever, because I want to not only hear a response to this, but I actually think that the meeting, ALAC and the board, should also be an exchange. And actually, I would love to have inputs from your side, what you think is crucial, important, what was on the agenda you have, and you have sometimes, I guess, some very often more insights on crucial issues and what you think is important. I just give us also some inputs. Thank you.
My only comment on this is, from my point of view, it seems in some ways like the translation issue is a symptom more than it is a cause. It's a symptom. I mean, even 2 weeks for a 112-page document in English is a problem. So there has to be some consideration that, especially given the bottom-up nature of ALAC, the way that we have to deal with bringing this information down to the grassroots, that there has to be some consideration that maybe this is a little bit of a different situation than some some of the other constituencies that can get to their members faster. I'm just asking for some consideration of that.
Sebastian. Just to say about expert, you have expert around the table, but you I can consider us as benevoles, and we don't have to be paid, but you pay somebody outside of the community to do this work, and they will do the work with no the knowledge that we have. And maybe you can reconsider and have some people around this table taking care of that, but not just because they are ALAC members, but because they are experts, and somebody could flow in that direction, not outside of everybody here.
And I'll be very, very brief. What I mean is that translation is always good, but when you use English as a first language to draft a document and express an idea and think about, you have the global audience. You should try to use some neutral terms that is universally accessible and understandable, such as at large. This is a term that's never been able to translate it into Chinese. And now I'm helping Nick to edit a Chinese translation for Fast Fluke a briefing. And they mix Fast Fluke in the Chinese documents. It's so shocking to Chinese reader. This is outrageous to us. But what is Fast Fluke in the Chinese characters? This is totally unacceptable.
I'm not sure that the term fast flux means a whole lot to English speakers, to be honest with you.
Well, could I suggest in Chinese, kuai su or kuai dao or something like that? But coming back to a more fundamental question raised by Annette, as a board member, as a member of Trisha's working group, and considering the purview or the mandate which was given to this working group, I would have, my suggestion would be concentrated at this stage mostly on method. I said this before. I think it's very useful that you consider that after our working group work, this will go to the board. So there are several stages, as Annette pointed out. And in order to avoid loss of important data or views, I think it's important that you address global issues first. It's almost as if I were asking you to put a one- or two-page executive report at the head or on top of all the other considerations you will be sending to us. And in this way, we will be able to address your priorities first, rather than trying to imagine what your priorities were, because we are stuck with problems of communication or layers, which were indicated earlier, or language, all of which are perfectly legitimate considerations and therefore real difficulties. But I would encourage you to have a very executive approach to this, to make for the most efficient input into what will be our collective work.
Thank you, and thank you very much for the enormous amount of time that the board members have spent with us today. It is really valued, I must say. I know there's not a lot of interchange coming back, but what does happen, of course, is you take these views on and share them with the board. Obviously, as individuals, you can hardly speak on behalf of the board in a forum such as this, and we do appreciate that. Vanda, my undying gratitude for coming to the fore, as I know you can, as would Sebastian, as my more than capable vice chairs, and I do thank everyone else for indulging me for a moment, which, of course, perhaps we could all think about. What we're doing here is not actually life and death. And from that point of view, we might move on to Picasso and the Picasso Room and our meeting with the GAG. Thank you all.